This is the main show, and you are listening to the Archery Maniacs Podcast.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
I'm Zach Owens.
This is Jessica Taylor Byers.
This is Brent Hahn.
In this episode, Cale Staton has Connor Sears on the podcast. They talk about his start in archery, recent win at the Dakota Classic, favorite accomplishment, his switch to Matthews, his future plans, and his favorite tournaments. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, my name is Connor Sears. I'm from Bowie, Texas, and you're listening to Archery Maniacs.
Awesome. And my name is Cale Staton. I'm a co-host for Archery Maniacs. Been trying to have you on for a while, Connor. I appreciate the time tonight.
Oh, no problem.
So, I've been watching you for several years, probably before you knew I was even paying attention to you. And you're a pretty awesome force to be reckoned with in the archery ranks at your age, man. You're doing pretty awesome. And thought it'd be a good time to talk to you and just kind of see where you came from and what's going on with your archery career and what your future holds and things like that. So, I'd like to hear about, I've never talked to you about this and just how you got started in archery and the beginning and how it ended up where you're at now.
Okay. Well, I started roughly about 7 years ago, I think. Started actually competitively shooting. Where I first picked up a bow, it was in Boy Scouts. I was at a camp, and there were a bunch of booths for just outdoor things. And there was an archery booth, basically NASP, I think it is, now that I think about it. But we went over there for a little bit. We were going to try all the booths out, just have some fun, have a good weekend. And I started shooting. I really liked it. Asked Dad if I could stay longer. He wanted me to go try everything else out, but I just wanted to try the archery. I pretty much sat there the entire weekend shooting.
Oh, wow.
So after that, decided he'd get me a bow because I had so much fun with it. So I just shot, messed around, hunted a little bit, nothing serious. Then one day, my dad and I were bored and then decided let's go to a 3D shoot because we'd been down to Simmon Creek Ranch before and we'd heard about a tournament. It was an ASA tournament. And so we went down there, shot, had a ton of fun, and decided we would do it the next year. Like, actually do a few of them. And so the next year comes around, we shoot a lot. And I asked my dad for a target bow.
How old were you probably at this point?
12 or 13, I believe.
Okay.
And so I asked Dad for a target bow. At this point, he really didn't know how long I would stay in it, so he told me that if I won our state championship, that he would buy me a target bow.
Oh, wow.
Well, weeks pass, I end up winning state, and he buys me a target bow.
And what class were you shooting then?
Oh, I think it was one of the Eagle classes, like, I believe it was Senior Eagle at the time. They don't have those classes anymore, so it'd be probably equivalent to middle school ends or middle school open.
Okay.
And then after that, got an actual target bow, not just a little kid's hunting bow set up and everything. And that's pretty much what started it. We stayed state level for that year. And then we did go to one national tournament. We went to field nationals, NFA field nationals.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. And the ASA Classic that year. And that was pretty much my first year kind of inching out onto the national level.
What was your first target bow? What was that bow he got you?
It was a 2012 PSC Supra matte black.
Okay. You still have that bow?
I do. I shot my first 60X with that bow, actually.
Yeah, you might want to keep that one.
So, yeah, I keep that one upstairs.
That's cool. I wish I had my first bow. That would be pretty cool to have now. But that's awesome. So you kind of just got your feet wet it sounds like your second year, couple national tournaments. And then were you getting any coaching then?
At that point, no. My dad was pretty much my only coach.
So did your dad, you know, did he hunt or how did, you know, yes. How'd the bow come in with him?
We hunted together and the first few tournaments, I don't believe he shot, but he decided if he's going to be out there, he might as well shoot the tournaments.
Right.
And so he got started in it and we just have shot together ever since.
I guess you listened to your dad a little better than my daughter listened to me. I had to get her lessons right off the bat because she wouldn't listen to me.
That's hilarious.
So that's great. So, all right. Well, that's kind of how it all got started.
Yep.
So I guess let's fast forward to this week. What happened this week?
Well, I traveled to Yankton, South Dakota to shoot the First Dakota Classic. It is an indoor tournament. You shoot 40, 50, and 60 yards, and then as a qualification round, then you shoot an elimination type round to decide the true winner.
How many arrows do you shoot at each distance?
You shoot 20 at each distance, 20 at 40, 50, and 60.
Okay.
And then the elimination is just all arrows at 60 yards, standard in elimination style, 15 arrows. This was actually 5 arrows per end, 5 okay. arrows, 3 ends, which is a little different from USA Archery, which is 3 arrows, 5 ends for a 150 round. So it was okay. just a little different.
Right. So how did the tournament end up?
That tournament ended well. I qualified first and ended up finishing first.
That's freaking awesome. That's freaking awesome. So you won in a shoot-off. What class did you shoot in?
I shot the Young Adult Championship Division.
Okay. I'd have to venture to say that's probably one of the better classes. I mean, it's not much different than a pro class, is those amount of talent you're shooting in that class with you.
Yeah, if you compare the scores, they're not too far apart, which is actually really cool to know what you're going to be competing against within the next few years, which I really like.
In a tournament like that, you can really compare apples to apples.
Definitely, because you're standing on the same line as Jesse Broadwater and whoever else, Stephen Hansen. We're all in the same line, shooting the same distance, same amount of arrows.
Yep. So it's really an awesome way to compare yourself. You know, that and Vegas, things like that. You can really compare apples to apples and see where you stand up. You know, it's pretty neat to be able to go to those tournaments and shoot in them and see, you know, if you can hang with those guys.
Always a thrill.
Was that your first time shooting Yankton?
No. Last year was my first time shooting the First Dakota Classic.
Okay. So tell me about the shoot off for the win. How did that work? So at the end of the tournament, y'all were still tied. Y'all had to have a shoot off. Tell me about that.
Well, I'll go from all my matches.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
First off, just my first match, I shot a 148, which I was pretty content with, and just trying to get everything figured out, get those tournament nerves out before I actually have to shoot for something big. And second round, I actually shot a 150, which I was really happy with. Put a lot of confidence going into that would have been the gold medal round. There wasn't a huge attendance here, but definitely some competition.
Right.
And so I shot the 150 round to put me into the gold medal match. In the gold medal match, I was shooting against one of my really good friends, Alexander Levan from Iowa, which we shoot on the same team. George Riles coaches us.
Right.
The Archery Learning Center. And so we start shooting. I take a pretty quick 2 points behind Alexander, which at that point I was like, man, this kid does not mess up. I'm just going to shoot my best and see how it turns out. So I I cleaned the first end barely, and he just had them piled in there. And I was thinking, good Lord. And the second round, I was a little sketchy, but I still cleaned it, I believe. And then the third and final round, I dropped 2 points. I mean, right off the bat, just right there, 2 big 9s. And he was pounding them in there. I saw he had one out, and then his last arrow, I believe he missed. I had to let down on one of mine, so I was up there by myself. And I had already saw that he dropped two and I dropped two, so I had to put that arrow in the dot, which was kind of tough. I pulled back up. I believe I let down once more because I was shaking too much. I knew that arrow had to be in there to win or tie. So I pull up, execute a good shot, put it in the X, and we had to go to a shoot-off. Get down there, score, put up new targets, come back. I think Jesse Broadwater and a few of the other big name pros were down the other end shooting off too because they had all tied. And so I pull back at the same time he does because if he just launched an incredible X, I didn't want to have to look at that before I shot mine, you know?
Right.
And so I pull back on mine. I hear him shoot. I hear nobody say anything behind me. Usually know when someone makes an incredible shot. And so I kind of came off the back wall a little bit, which was very unfavorable. Didn't like, but I didn't want to let down and see what he shot. So I continued in the shot. A little shaky, but not too much. Arrow broke, or the sight, it broke at the bottom of the X. I gave it a little push and ended up being almost a dead center X for the shoot-off arrow.
Oh, wow.
Which I was happy with, definitely, to take the gold from the shoot-off.
So the shoot-off is a one-arrow shoot-off?
It's a one-arrow shoot-off.
And it's closest to the center?
Closest to center.
Okay. And so where did his hit?
I believe it was a low left nine, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Well, so it's one arrow and that's all it took. And then at that point, you're the champion, huh?
Yep.
That's awesome.
It's pretty fun.
So I don't think I'll ever be on a stage to shoot off, like that. And I just don't think I'll ever go there. But I've got some questions about that. You know, you were mentioning, you know, you saw some of his scores. I always wondered if people in the shoot off, I'm sure everybody's different, but for yourself, are you looking at his arrows when they hit the target? Are you paying attention?
What I did in our regular elimination round is when he shot, I would shoot at the same time or at least get pulled back. So I did not see where he hit while I was shooting.
Okay.
I just see it out of my peripheral or anything.
Okay.
But when I would shoot, I would look to see where his hit or okay. just anyone, for example, and for that specific situation, I did not want to see where it hit.
Right.
I can imagine. If I would have saw that it would have been a nine, I would have been happy and maybe a little less pressure off of me. But if I would have saw it had been a dead center X or something like that, it would have put 10 times that pressure on me and know that I had to do that to win.
Right.
So typically, just to be safe, I like to either shoot it first or shoot at the same time as my competitor.
Right. I guess you can't force yourself not to look. I mean, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that either. So at a 60 yards, it's kind of, I guess it's, were you looking through your binoculars? I mean, was it, or could you actually see?
After my shot?
Yeah, like when you would check the target, you know, in between arrows, were you looking through your binoculars after each arrow?
No, I was just looking to keep a general idea of where everything was.
Okay, just the best you could see with your eyes.
Yep, I just didn't want to use binoculars and take up my time. I just wanted to make sure my arrows were good, everything was just good. Didn't really care where it hit because it's going to be down there. It's going to be the same when we get down there.
Right. Score doesn't change.
Yep.
So, you said you let down twice, you think. How much time do you have to shoot that arrow? Do you remember?
I think 4 minutes. Okay. Or no, for the arrow.
I don't
know how much we have for a shoot-off. I've never really looked.
Yeah, okay.
I usually don't come close to the time, so I just pretty much don't pay attention.
Right. So, well, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, it was cool. It's my first time actually hitting almost a dead center X in a shoot-off, which I was really happy.
At a 60 yards, that's got to be tough. What arrows were you shooting?
I was shooting Pierce Tours, gold tip Pierce Tours.
Okay.
Those things have worked incredible for me for last year and going on this year. Great arrow.
What weight? How much weight do you have up front?
I was messing around between 120s, 130s, and 140s, just using the FACT weight system, and right. I got my best grouping and best wind drift out of the 140s.
Okay.
And those things packed like no other arrow I've ever shot before. And in the wind, they're really good compared to the 120s or 130s. You wouldn't think 10 grains makes a difference, but it really did with those. Right. And I have them cut at, I believe, 28 3/4 inches, just outside my shelf on my riser, so I can put it up with my finger if I had to.
Okay. You shooting a lizard tongue?
Yes, I am. I'm shooting a Hamsky. I have it set up as a blade.
Okay.
Right now, and I'm liking the way that's set up.
So awesome. So, you shot quite a few major tournaments that I know about. What's your favorite? Let's do this. What's your most proud? What's the thing that you've earned so far? What is you're most proud of?
Oh, well, let's think for a second. It's probably going to have to be the Nîmes World Cup shoot in Nîmes, France, this January that I shot in. I qualified first and ended third after eliminations, and that was just such a fun shoot and such a different shoot with – there were hardly any Americans there, so it was a real culture shock, and just getting to shoot with all those guys and ending up qualifying first. And it was just incredible, ton of fun. And then getting to get out on that final stage with just everyone watching you, it's just a thrill. And being able to perform under that is just priceless.
Right. That's got to be a lot of pressure.
Yes. I'd never actually had my knees shake before while shooting. So that was something I had to get used to pretty quick.
You really can't simulate that in practice.
No, definitely not.
You just gotta.
I've thought of ways to do it, and I can't. There's just nothing like it.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. So that's crazy. So, is that what style of tournament? It's an indoor tournament, or is it similar to Vegas? I mean, I don't mean to be ignorant, but I don't know exactly how that format is.
You're good. It is a vertical 3-spot scoring inner 10.
Okay.
60 arrows, 3 arrows per target, obviously, but 20 ends, 600 perfect score, and then you go into match play, which is the regular match play, 3 arrows per end, 5 ends, 150 perfect score.
Okay. Cool, man. That's awesome. And how did you end up going to France? How did you end up going there? I mean, did you have that planned or what?
It was an idea last year that maybe I would get to go with George Riles and the rest of his team, or I guess our team.
Right.
But I just didn't know how it would be performing, and I was performing pretty well for our indoor season, just shooting regular shoots here in Texas, and I thought it might be worth a shot. Thought I might be able to do well, which I'm definitely glad I went, and I'll probably try to go every year from now on because it's an incredible tournament. The best way I could explain it is like the Vegas shoot of Europe, I guess you could say.
Okay.
It's just so big, so many people. I mean, of course, it doesn't compare to the Vegas shoot, but that's just what it reminded me.
Right.
Of just all the different people, the incredible competition, and just absolutely awesome.
That's cool, man. Did your family get to go with you?
No, they did not. They stayed home, and I just traveled with George and the rest of the crew.
That had to be nerve-wracking from your parents trying to figure out how you're doing in the middle of the tournament. Did they have somebody updating them?
They had the online scoring.
Okay. Just like they do in Vegas.
Yes. But I would, like during my qualification round, I would text my dad, just tell him how it was going, like half rounds and stuff.
But that was
about it. And it was probably around midnight or 2 a.m. whenever I was shooting every time.
Oh, crap.
So, yeah. So if I had any problems, I had to call them and wake them up, which was kind of tough. But
they didn't mind.
No. Hope not.
I don't think they might, man.
But surely not. But so I think that might have helped a little bit, is because it was basically the middle of the night every time I shot.
Okay. I didn't even think about that, the giant time change. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, and I did have some, like, questions, problems just with foreign travel that I had to call and wake them up.
Right. Right, but yeah.
It's just incredible going over there and shooting. Just totally different people, just incredible.
They welcome you pretty good?
Yes, actually. They were really nice. Or the shooters were quite nice to us. They just liked us, I guess. I don't know if because we were American or we were shooting with George's team or what, but they were really nice. Seemed to know us.
Well, that's good.
But the rest of France, I mean, it wasn't welcoming, but it wasn't too bad, I guess.
Okay.
Nothing to what I'd kind of been expecting. I was expecting them to be quite rude to us from what I've been told. But it was good. It was fine. There was a little language barrier there with some people who didn't speak English, because I sure don't speak French.
I'd be lost over there, brother.
Yeah, but luckily most of the people spoke English, and if they didn't, you could just kind of point and use your fingers.
Right. That's funny. So you've mentioned George Riles a few times now.
Yeah.
So how long has he been your coach, and how did that end up? How did you end up working with him?
I think it's coming up on 2 years, I believe, because how it came to be a few years ago, I was invited to a Yankton, South Dakota compound high performance shooting camp, where I went out there for about a week, and there was a bunch of different coaches and a few pros that just taught us and just taught us tuning aspects, corrected any form problems, anything like that. And we stayed out there for about 6 days in a hotel room, and then went over to the Yankton Center each morning and just shot all day. And George was one of the coaches. And I talked to him about maybe coaching me after that tournament season, and just give it a try. And we did. And it's great. He knows a ton about tuning, shooting, pretty much everything. It's just fantastic to get to shoot for him. And
yeah. I'd say so. I mean, I'd have to say he's probably the premier coach right now that I know of. I mean, I'm not well versed on who's all coaches and everything like that, but he's at least the biggest name, you know, that I'm hearing. Nowadays.
Bigger names, but I was trying to think of a word just to describe him, and I can't think of it. But he is just, every time you're in his presence, you learn something new. Just every time. It may not even be form related anymore, but just tuning or just driving in a car to Waffle House or whatever, you're going to learn. Whenever you're with him, you will learn something.
Well, that's cool.
And you might go, oh, wow, that applies to the problem I'm having right now. Why I don't hit those Vegas 300s or just whatever. And it's just, great. Every time you have another one of those moments, it just feels like a little victory. Huh. And just, it's great to have him.
That's cool. How often do you get to work with him in person? I know y'all don't live close.
Yeah. He lives in Atlanta. I live in Texas, pretty far. I tend to go out there quarterly.
Okay.
And sometimes, like, I'll go to their Christmas camp and stay at his house and shoot that whole week, but like individually I try to go quarterly, and then what we have is we have a little program that I can talk to him, send him videos of shooting, send him my questions, everything. It's like a log situation that I could go back and look if I need to look at something, or it's just pretty much strictly an archery log of whatever I do.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a mentor Facebook, I guess you could say.
Okay.
But like, I'm his only friend, and we only talk to each other.
So he's reachable if you need something?
Yes, all the time.
Okay. Well, that works out.
Yes, it really does. It really helps to, like, post a problem up there, him solve it, and then a few weeks later, if you want to, like, reference back to it, you can go back and look, which has helped me in a a few situations with my shooting.
Right. Huh. That's pretty cool, man. So you, I heard you mention a minute ago too, tuning. How much work are you doing to your own equipment? And if you know, what how's that working out?
I work on all of my equipment pretty much. Took over everything this year of on the equipment side. Because in the past years, I've had help with my dad. He's helped me a lot, knows a lot about tuning, I'll say.
Okay.
But this year, I kind of took it into my own hands to do everything. Ask a question every now and then if I'm not sure. Don't want to mess anything up.
Right.
But I like tuning my own equipment and like just, I guess, super tuning it to me. I love doing that because it overall puts out the best possible bow that you, that would fit you.
Right.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You get the best fit for you if you do it yourself.
Right. That makes sense. I mean, you know what you're trying to
have someone. Yeah, not have someone handing it to you, just changing mods out every time and going, does this fit?
Right.
No, it doesn't.
You know what you're trying to accomplish, so you can work towards that. You know, and then
you know if you twist this string, you know if you twist this string, you're gonna add holding weight, lose holding weight, shorten draw length, lengthen it, just whatever. And it's really interesting to actually work with that and see like cause and effect situations just when you're tuning it for you.
Right.
And you just learn so much more than having someone just hand it to you and say, try this.
Right.
And also I like working on it all the time because if I do have a problem out in the field, I know how to fix it. It's something that I generally know how to fix.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Which has helped me a lot that in weird situations where something happens and I have to pull out serving in the field or something and serve part of a string or whatever.
Right.
Or keep serving from coming loose or just anything.
Right. Yeah. No matter how good of equipment you have, there's still going to be some small things that come up, you know, in the middle of a tournament or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. Happens to everybody.
So. Yep. But it's how you fix that and how quick you fix that that make the difference.
Right. Huh. Well, that's good to know, man. That's I wondered how who was working on your equipment and how that got taken care of. So that's pretty awesome that you're doing it. You know, I'm starting show Abigail some small stuff here and there, you know, and just make sure that she's at least seeing it and watching me do things. And
I was thinking you'd be the type of guy to do that. And I was hoping
that
she would be learning at an early age because that's really going to pay off in the long run.
Yeah. I probably need to do more of it, and I've started ramping it up a lot more here recently. And I am not the greatest tuner guy because I have zero patience. So when I start messing with something, if I don't get it right pretty quick, I give up. I can do some of the basic stuff, if I change something and it works out the first time or the second time, I'm good. But if I start having to tinker with things, I probably will just take it to somebody because I don't have the patience for it. And
don't have the patience. I think the best thing we ever got was a last chance press.
Oh, I have one. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Because it just makes everything so much easier, so much safer.
Yep.
With everything in a draw board.
I don't have a draw board yet. I need a draw board. I need a good vise. My vise sucks.
Get an OMP vise. Those things are great.
Yep. I need one of those.
With the last chance press, it's so easy to take measurements at full draw. You don't have to have someone near you with a tape measure getting a mediocre mark.
Right.
When you want something. And what I do now is since I'm running multiple setups that I want to feel at least semi close, like a backup bow situation, it's not going to be perfect, but I want it to be close. I'll log that down in a notebook. How many twists I take out of the string, put in the string and everything. Because it's mostly coming from a factory, so they're all factory set.
Right.
And so I just keep a log on everything I do, which has really helped me to duplicate setups. And I probably wouldn't be able to do that without the last chance.
Have you, how many times have you had to use your backup bow?
I have had to use it a few times, like at home before, before we go to a tournament. Luckily, I've never had to switch to one, but like at a tournament while we're there. But they have been ready. Like I took one to France. I took one to Vegas.
Okay.
Took one to Cincinnati. But I've had it happen a few times at home that I had to switch.
Your dad told me a story one time, and I don't know exactly what it was. Something about you selling a bow, and then something happened with a bow. So they were y'all were trying to get set up like in the middle of the night. Another bow that you had in your closet. Is this making sense to you at all?
That's a really funny story.
Yeah, go ahead and tell that story because your dad was cracking me up when he told me that story.
That was the first time I went to the Dakota Classic, and the night before or something like that, I probably did something stupid to where I messed up something that I did not want to shoot it that weekend or it just wasn't worked out.
Didn't you do something to the string or something? Didn't it?
Yes, I don't remember. Something that I could not shoot it.
Right.
And so I thought I was like, oh, I'll just go get my backup bow. It'll be fine. And I forgot that I had sold the backup bow and another one was on the way, but it wasn't here yet. And so I was like, oh no. I was like, I don't want to skip it or anything. So I run upstairs. I start looking around for options. I find this older PSC Super. It wasn't a black one, but it was like maybe 1 or 2 years newer than that, my old black one that I had.
Right.
And I set that thing up. It was shooting. I mean, it was shooting okay, but it wasn't anything great. And so we took it to South Dakota. I qualified decent, didn't do well in the elimination. But that night when we were shooting off for the $5,000 and $10,000, I ended up winning the $5,000 shoot-off. Oh,
that's it. I remember you won that. I was watching you on the Facebook Live. Yeah.
Yeah, I won it with my hunting bow. That was my hunting bow. Definitely one I'll remember for the rest of my life. Because I was from almost not going to the shoot. $25,000 2 days later was hilarious.
Your dad was really cracking me up. He told me that story. We were waiting to shoot Paris last year, the Paris Tri-State qualifier. And he told me that story there and was cracking me up. So yeah, his story was a little different than your story and it was a little more colorful. So he was frustrated with you a little bit that night, I think.
Oh, I'm sure he was pretty angry about that one, almost as much as I was having to scramble together some equipment.
Well, it's now looking back on it, it's pretty freaking awesome, and you're able to you have a great story and a great memory and pretty cool accomplishment for you to go out there and do that. That was pretty awesome.
It's pretty funny that 2 weeks before that tournament, I was shooting pigs with that bow, and then go to shooting actual tournaments with it. Pretty funny.
That's crazy. So also new this year, I noticed you made a switch on who you're shooting for. Before I go there, something we should have done at the beginning of the podcast, which is a huge reason I wanted to talk to you, is the listeners need to know, how old are you, Connor?
I just turned 17.
Okay. And that's one of the biggest reasons I wanted to talk to you is because how much you've done in your archery career and how many accomplishments you've had and how you're shooting at such a high level and in the age you are right now. So anyway, it's just pretty awesome to have, you know, you and the other guys that on your team and, you know, all these youth out there that are y'all the future of the sport. And it's just something that's a huge part of my family's life and just to know that,
yes,
you know, these pros looking at y'all are probably, you know, thinking, my God, man, you know, what's going to happen here in 3 or 4 years when all you guys are not shooting in the young adult class anymore, you know, it's going to be awesome.
It's pretty funny to think that we'll be, I don't know if we're going to be up there, but we're sure going to be shooting with them.
Right.
Our whole group. It'll be fun. Definitely. No doubt.
No.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So know what I was fixing to get to is you made a switch in bows this year. Who you shot for in the past. Ever since I've known you, you shot PSE bows.
Yes.
And then a few months back, you made a switch. So how did that come about and who are you shooting for?
This year I'm shooting for Matthews. And how that came about, Just shot PSE for a long time, so it might have been time for a switch. Great company to shoot for, great bows, but I just wanted to switch. And just talking around, getting things done, got in contact with a rep, and got something worked out that I ended up shooting for him this year.
That's awesome. I think it's paying off for you, you know?
Yes, I really like that bow. I'm really clicking with that bow this year, the TRX-7.
TRX-7, okay.
I was caught between the TRX-38 and the 7, and I'd always shot shorter bows when I shot PSE. So I decided to just give a full 40-inch bow a run, and I'm liking it so far.
So why did you pick the 7 over the 8?
I wanted a little more speed, and I just felt that the 7 was already a big bow for me.
Okay.
Considering my draw length is like 29 inches, so barely big enough to just feel right, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
And just adding a whole extra inch of brace height and losing speed just wasn't really in the cards of what I was looking for. What right. I was looking for is I heard the eight aims better.
Okay.
And holds better. But what I was looking for is a quick transition from indoor to outdoor.
Okay.
So I could have a field bow ready and a 3D bow ready and have it be the same one, not have to get used to anything.
Right.
Which I pretty much everyone knows I absolutely despise indoor shooting. And I'm pretty much live for outdoor field and 3D.
Okay. Sun
feeder. And I just want a quick transition between the two.
What's your favorite? If you had to pick one style of archery tournament. Which one would
field
you
archery all field. The way,
man.
And more specifically, feet of field.
Feet of field, okay.
Which so, is a half marked, half unmarked field round.
Wow.
Yes.
Huh.
Very different.
Are any of those? Are there feet of field tournaments around in Texas here like that?
Generally not. There.
Okay.
Texas State Archery Association does a few. Actually, okay. It's funny we're talking about this because tomorrow I'm heading down to Canyon Lake, Texas to shoot a feet of field shoot. It's their state championship.
Oh,
and that's pretty much getting me prepared for checking everything out for the World National Championship and World Field Trials in June, which will be held in Darrington, Washington.
Okay.
To make the team for the World Championships.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is definitely pretty much my main goal this year.
Is that the tournament that Bubba made those awesome quivers?
For? Yes.
Okay. Those I wanted to go shoot in the tournament just to I would never win my class, but those quivers are looking pretty damn awesome, you know.
So. Yes, I'm hunting for one of those.
Yeah.
Those look just incredible. He did a great job on those. Incredible job.
Well, I can understand your love for field, man. We just shot our first field tournament. I mean, it's something small. We just shot Irving a couple days last weekend.
And, oh, really?
We shot it just because we're going to go to Reading, and so we just went over there because it was, you know, similar landscape and, you know, similar shooting, you know, to Reading, the best yes. weekend we know.
Yeah, the best we have here.
Yeah, right. And so it was pretty freaking fun, man. I want to go shoot again. I'm going to definitely shoot in the state championship. And you know, that'd probably be my only other one I'm able to make, but,
it's pretty local this year.
Yeah. That's great.
Last year was in Corpus and that was just a long drive for us and you too.
Yeah. 10-hour drive to get to Corpus Christi, something like that. 9 to but 10. Yeah.
It's always worth it. Always worth it. Shoot some fear.
So yeah, I guess that tournament cost me some money because, Abigail shot so good. We had to book flights to the national championship in, what is it, Pennsylvania?
Oh, y'all are going?
Yeah, I'm not. That's awesome. Abigail's
You're
going.
Have so much fun.
Abigail's going with Jennifer. It'll be the first time they went to a major tournament by themselves. So I can't take off work, but we wanted to get her there. She shot lights out. She almost cleaned the course. She made one mistake and didn't set her sight on the first arrow of one of her targets, and she shot a 4. That was her only 4 of the day.
Oh, she shot 559?
Yeah.
That's great. That's incredible.
So she's ready for Reading, I think, you know, so.
Definitely. Well, she will still be Cub in Reading and
yes.
Pennsylvania?
Yes, cub for awesome. Both of them. Yeah. Awesome. She'll be able to shoot cub one more time in Vegas also, and then she has to move up for everything after that.
Oh, that's about how I am. I get to shoot amateur one more time, one more indoor season, and then party's over.
Right.
Go in the championship.
Right. So I guess, you know, that kind of transition good into, you know, what I was going to go into next is, you know, what are your future plans? You know, do you have anything that you're thinking about? Or are you just going to keep riding this wave to see where it takes you? Or you know, what do you have any,
you know,
goals?
I mean, the long-term goal might sound cheesy, but I just want to be the best. Best at any type of archery anywhere. Just be the best general shooter, if that makes sense.
That's not cheesy, man. I mean, that's...
And a short-term goal is, I was talking about that FITA field. I want to make that world team to go shoot in Italy in September, I believe it is. So that's a short-term goal.
So what would you have to do to make that team?
Place top three after a qualification elimination type format, I believe it is. I haven't shot in so long. But, yeah, qualification, elimination, whoever comes out top three, that's the team.
Okay. And so you'd be representing the U.S. and Italy?
Yes.
That would be pretty freaking cool.
As a team, not as an independent.
Right. Okay. So y'all go there and it's a team score.
Or, yes, you'd be representing the U.S. Like when we went to Nîmes, we had the U.S. by our name and everything, but we weren't actually on the team, I guess you would say.
Okay.
So definitely want to represent Team USA. It'd be an honor.
For sure, man. That's huge. That would be that's like a once in a lifetime kind of a accomplishment. But maybe it ain't gonna be once for you. Maybe you can do it a bunch of times. You know.
Yep. That would be fun. Definitely. But we were talking about my goals. What next year brings.
Right.
I'm gonna shoot young adult amateur as long as I can.
Okay.
And then end up going pro, I guess you would say. Shoot the championship divisions and everything.
Okay.
Next year will be my senior year of high school. Definitely going to college.
Okay.
And just see where it takes me.
Are you going to go to a college that you'll be able to shoot at college, or are you just going to do that outside?
Planning on going to Texas A&M.
Okay.
And I will most likely shoot for their archery team.
Yep.
But that's a beautiful campus, great place. Going to be awesome to go to college there.
From what I understand, you know, I don't really know how the college archery works and stuff, but from what I understand, Texas A&M has the premier or one of the premier archery teams in the United States.
I'm with you there. I'm not for sure. Haven't looked a lot into it. I just know that it is one of the premier best teams in the United States.
Okay, that's what I've heard. So that'll be pretty awesome. Did you have family that went to Texas A&M?
No.
No?
Nope. So, just we tend to shoot down there so much that you end up, like, between line times or whatever, driving around. And just it's just a beautiful campus to come to find out. Just a beautiful place. Everybody there is nice.
I think it fits your personality, too, and your upbringing and where you grew up and things like that. You know, you know, my daughter's awfully young, but if you asked her today where she's going to go to college, she's going to say Texas A&M. So I told her she has to better get a scholarship. She makes good grades, so hopefully that'll help.
Awesome. No doubt she will.
So, no, that's cool, man. That's real cool. So what's the next tournament you're shooting in?
The next tournament, like I said,
like national tournament,
that little FITA field thing.
Okay.
And then that next weekend we'll be ready.
Oh, you're gonna go to? I forgot you're going to Reading.
Yeah.
I forgot you're going to Reading. That's awesome. When do y'all fly out there?
What day does shoot start?
Shoot starts Friday.
We'll probably fly out there Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah,
that
sounds right. I get confused with all of these different shoots.
Right.
But, yes, we'll probably fly out there Wednesday, practice Thursday, and then get to work on Friday.
I guess you can practice there?
Yes, yes, you can.
They can you shoot any of the course or any animals with dots, or are you just shooting bags? I've never been, so I don't know how the practice works.
They have bags. They have this one practice range, at the venue, like right there, and then they have one across the street that goes out to the 101, so you can check your 100 and just check everything. But as in course, last year I believe they let us shoot the lower 14. I believe they called it.
Okay.
But they just let us shoot that a little bit, but nothing else. No Bigfoot action or anything like that.
Do you remember what your starting stake is?
No, I do not.
Yeah, I think I might sit on 6, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah.
We're probably in the 30s. That's probably where we wanted to start.
Okay.
Because just the way the course is laid out, like you'll have easy days and hard days, per se. And I think we wanted to start out at one of the harder, just to kind of get a feel of what's going on.
Okay.
Because some days you'll only have, just the way the course is set, you'll only have, a bunch of closer shots, or just the way the course is set up, just a bunch of closer shots or medium shots, or then you can get the 101, the 88, just the 70s, you can get all that out of the way, which I think that was what we were going to do.
Okay. So have you shot it before?
Yes, I shot it last year for the first time.
So I don't mean to turn this into a ask questions about Redding podcast, but I'm sure other people might want to hear this too.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask a few more.
Go for it.
So do you remember, I guess for the adult class, you shoot the first 2 days and then they do like Vegas and then they flight you on the third day. Is that true or not?
If there's a flights division, probably so. They would flight you after the first 2 days. But championship is just all 3 days added together.
Okay, and are you shooting championship or are you shooting?
I'm shooting regular young adult.
Young adult,
NFA young adult.
Okay.
I don't think it's called championship.
No. Yeah, I remember.
But they probably would not flight you. I doubt it, since the course is different.
And yeah, that's somebody told me that, and then I'm looking at the yardages and stuff and how the course is laid out, and I'm like, man, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair.
So, because
regular adult male freestyle amateur is just shoot 3 days. Just everyone is the same, I believe.
Okay. And just however you fall is how you fall at the end.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it,
It's an absolute blast.
I mean,
bring your hiking boots.
We got some. I even went and bought Abigail a new pair just for this tournament, and so I bought her a good pair that she can wear on a hunt and stuff too, afterwards. Yeah. So
last year we were told that there were light hills.
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay, we'll just pack some tennis shoes, it'll be fine. We get up there. I don't know who we talked to and what their definition of light hills were, but it definitely did not match our definition.
Those are mountains if you come from Texas.
Yeah, we were slipping and sliding, and it was ridiculous.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So, man, we can't wait. I'm going to be wanting to go in those mountains and go hunting when I get over there.
It's great.
it's beautiful places, the pictures and stuff. And I've looked up a little bit of the YouTube videos and watched some of the shooting and stuff. And so it looks like you got a long wait between shots. It seems like you're shooting in groups of 20 or 25, and then you shoot two arrows at a time. So,
yeah, it's a big old 3D shoot. It's a big old ASA shoot at long distance.
So you shoot.
You'll be waiting.
Every 15 minutes, you shoot two shots, basically, probably something like that.
Pretty much. Sometimes it's quicker. It just depends. Like when you get up near Bigfoot or something really long distance,
right?
The wait's like 30 minutes generally, or it was for us.
Right.
But like closer shots, you move through pretty quick. Probably a shot every 5 to 7 minutes on those. But definitely the Bigfoot, it takes a while.
Well, at the Bigfoot, you can only shoot one shooter at a time, I think. And then at the small distances, you can shoot three or four sometimes at a time.
Oh, you can shoot about four across, or at least we did.
Right.
We shot four across, and it still took a long time.
Right.
But they're good about it. They have a snack stand up there. You can buy drinks, buy food, there's picnic tables and stuff. They know that's the spot that gets crowded. So it's not too bad.
Would you recommend me bringing an archery chair or not?
No, because you would have to carry it around. That's the only drawback to
that. So just a quiver and
Yes. What I do is I carry a big old backpack.
Okay. I was thinking about bringing a backpack.
I have water, snacks, extra arrows, emergency kits, wrenches, just everything. And then I pack relatively light on my quiver because I don't want to walk around with that the whole time.
Right.
Something heavy.
I'm glad I asked you these questions. change my packing a little bit.
Experience and things I did wrong.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, that's good to know. We can't wait. Abigail's excited. I'm excited. So we're really looking forward to that tournament.
So that's incredible.
I can't wait. So, well, awesome, man. I really appreciate you coming on.
No problem.
It was
a pleasure.
You know, you're the future, man. You're a future pro soon, you know, and these pros better be watch out because every year you get better and I've seen you get better and you're tough. So, tough shooter.
Thank you.
You know,
appreciate it.
So, it's going to be pretty cool to see what, you know, keep up with you and see what the future holds for you guys.
Yes,
I really enjoy going to a tournament or watching y'all on Facebook or just keeping up with the local guys and seeing how they do national. We've got some pretty tough shooters around Texas, you know.
Yep.
So
we really do.
So that's pretty neat. So, well, man, I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to,
no problem.
Maybe Thanks we'll have you on me. later on one other time and talk about some different stuff. We can talk tuning or practice schedules, something like that, you know, get some technical
Looking
information later. But I appreciate you coming on tonight, man. So I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'll see you next week. I'll probably see you next week.
Yep. See you.
All right, man. All right. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the show. It means a lot to us.
But seriously, though, I really appreciate your ear. And it would mean the world to me if you would rate our podcast. If you didn't like it, 1-star it. But if you did, a 5 is even better. Don't forget to comment, like, share, and hit that subscribe button. Thanks again for tuning into the show. Some other podcasts that you should definitely check out are
Eastman Elevating with Bride and Barney,
and Hunt Harvest Health with Ryan and Hillary Lambers.
Some other YouTube channels to check out:
Hardworking Hunter, Sterling's Extremes Outdoors, and Lane Walter Productions.
And a special thanks to
Maven Optics, Six Sight Gear, Dark Energy Tech, Shield Mountain Outdoors, The Outdoor Insiders, Iron Mind Hunting, Valkyrie Archery, and Gannett Ridge Sporting Equipment.